continuation of the visit of Ms. Chitty this Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71.
Not so really that. Not for really. They have thought of going in service, you know. Really, I said, what makes them so cranky about Barbara, the baby? He says, why? I says, your daddy wanted to hold Barbara. He had his head in his hand, arms, and he has it. That sit down in the rocking chair. Taken, I put her in his arms. I said, even since then. I said, Sybil hadn't even wanted, if they wanted me to touch Bob. And she got to where she just didn't bring Barbara around to see if Willie was in service. Goodbye, mother. Leave Barbara up there. And come and go back down, back and forth here and now. And it looked like it hurt poor old Frank so bad to think his oldest grandchild, his oldest son's child, and he couldn't have anything to do with it. But when Catherine come along, she was born in the hospital. Barbara was born over at Irvine at home. Like the rest of the mothers had their children, you know. And we was keeping Barbara. Willie'd come through from work to bring Barbara by. Believe her, you know. Boy, she didn't like the idea of sleeping next to granddaddy. And she was just like a little child of a kid. She knew her granddaddy and Uncle Martin, Uncle Frankie, and Uncle Munnon, Aunt Margaret, Uncle Lehman. Just call him Uncle Lehman. And they'd be, yeah, you know, if they go back home, Willie and Sybil would sit down. Where are you, Barbara, what you doing? Daddy, I'm going to eat some victuals with Uncle Lehman and Aunt Margaret.
Yeah,
we're going to eat some grub with Uncle Lehman and Aunt Margaret.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, I've got some things to fix, Miss Chitty.
We got to go around and see what's going on the place.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
Have we?
Yeah. And I'm going to get you home before dark tonight because of all the traffic. Anyway, it's ready.
Never I'd make us thank a lot with that receiver after Christ back in.
Get that thing out of the way.
Now, I thought he was going to make him a light.
Well, sometimes we need to look at something.
Or read or something at the table. Right. Well, if the potatoes are sort of cold, it's because we ran around.
You know, I tell you, Fame, after we visit a little bit of Miss City, I always feel like I know so much.
Yes.
And I don't really. All I know is what she told me. This boy got the tractor truck. There's one down there, didn't he?
You heard what he said when he came in.
What did he say?
Come in like a little boy, scared in a little death. Knocked on the door and said, oh, and my knee. Table leg, I'll leave you there. He come in, you know. Miss Meyer says, come in.
You mean that grown boy? Are you afraid we're going to get after
him? He left shaking his head and saying that he's done something wrong. Now, he way had his hat on, not did he?
Oh, he took it off.
And holding his head and
done something wrong. Both hands going to do something wrong. And then he said, I was so proud of what I was doing. I was so proud of it. And now I've done something wrong.
He was really put out, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know, that's happened to me so many times. I got stuck in the edge of the place down there, and I had to call the wrecker.
That's the truth. Like you couldn't take another tractor and let Ms. Myers drive the one and pull it out?
I couldn't start the other tractor, Ms. I needed that tractor to pull the other tractor off.
How come he didn't take it down the other season?
We were just making him sweat it out.
Well, you know, make a good hand, you got to be patient with him.
Well, you didn't let him sweat it out overnight, can't you?
Mind you come back.
If you make it too easy for him, he won't appreciate a good thing. Oh, I can remember when I was growing up, we did hate to get a green hand. Because he'd do a little work, but we'd have to mend everything after him. Good, babe. That okra.
That's because of Miss Judy, and that's what made us late. I had to wait. Bill had some.
Oh, we celebrate now.
Uh huh.
She thought she lost it or left it one, so she had to think about having something in the bag besides the other stuff. She went and didn't find it.
Right in the bag.
You and Suzanne didn't help me out on that. But you didn't know.
I didn't know what to tell you to look for in the bag. I've gone so long, I began to think it was about hacking you up in there for some meat.
In the meat house down there?
That's where we had to get the okra. I was determined to get that okra.
There's some ahead of you?
There was a one person I had on me, and I thought he'd be through in a minute, and he brought out the store.
That's the way they do sometimes.
And Miss Chitty saw what he brought out.
Yeah.
Suzanne said, hey, I brought out two bags. I think beans, a big one and a small one. Put that in back of the car. And back and come out with another great little bag of stuff. Then she says, well, he must be buying a whole lot.
All meat.
I says, Maybe they're stocking up for the weekend. There's a bit they're going on party. Boating party, isn't there? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know who they were. When he went back with the wife, he told his wife, a daughter, mother, a girlfriend, whatever it was, to take candle open back of the car trunk, you know. Mind all that, and put this in there, and put that in there, put that through there, and say, whew, that's like you got a big ham. And finally, got to piddling and paddling around back then. He shut the trunk down. He went back. Before he went, he reached down and got something out in the bag, carried and put it back in his car in the back seat. Top down, and he gets in the car and they go off. The man says, "Nope, you ain't going back anymore." I said, "I think he done bought out."
But Frankie doesn't like to shop. Doesn't like to go shopping.
No. I don't know what he do if I have to get down and Margaret wouldn't, and he had to go buy something too. I don't know what he'd do.
You mean Frankie doesn't like to shop?
Yes, I never has. I used to buy stuff down there at Albert's. Coming in from Danesville working, you know. And I tell him, well, better. But that grocery list long day to boys, today, boys, so you buy your groceries either in Gainesville or in some cheap places coming up. Mine would always take the grocery bill when it's his week to buy. He'd buy stuff in Gainesville. Frankie, he'd say, come on back to Albert's and buy it.
Well, you know, I had forgotten that. You had Albert's store down there up until the last year or so, didn't you?
And he's been quit about 5 years now.
So you didn't have to worry about the groceries, huh?
A lot of times they'd come home on Friday evening, you see. They didn't work Saturday and buy groceries on Friday night. Okay. Mama and I didn't stop at Albert's. We'll go to Williston and get groceries tonight.
But he didn't get them. He didn't buy them. You always done the buying.
Oh, yeah, he'd buy them down at Albert's when I'd write groceries and stuff. Uh-huh. You know, so Albert had it, he got it, and if he didn't, why? He didn't get it.
Oh, I see. But he didn't have to get it, he just give Albert the list.
But he never liked to. He never liked to shop.
You know, I never went in that little store. I passed by there 2 times while it was still going. But all your family has been in there, I guess, many a time.
Yes, my husband created that.
Think of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you hated to see him close up.
Well, you get to go to Williston to the A&P.
Mm-hmm.
You just get things. Hey, the
surprised you people knew that.
Oh.
But after Mr. A and B moved on the other side, back up on the, back up. He kind of jumped up, I guess, during his new story. I had charged me.
Oh, is that right?
Things were high.
At the A&T.
Mm-hmm.
In the old store. Well, how do you know?
No, in the new store, when he got his new store built, the A&T company, they went up and about as cheap as Albert says you would be over the money.
I'll be dead man. Well, what do you know? Well, I wish they'd just stay in their old stores, Miss City.
Well, we're doing good, Miss Fine. I thought they'd go up in here.
Just go up in
here?
They know we got to pay it, I guess. They got it. They can get it, so. Oh, that's nice. Say, I feel so much better.
Good.
Gee, I don't know what happened to me, whether I've eaten today or not.
Well, I know for 2 days that you didn't eat lunch.
Yeah.
You got too dizzy, and that's not right.
No, just sit through lunch is not right, is it? You know, I wouldn't know Mr. Albert or Mr. Albert, either one, if I was to see him. Now, isn't that something? As much as I've been out in that country, I've seen them, you know, but I just barely seen them, and I don't know them.
If you still see him, hear him talking, you'd know him next time you see him. Albert stutters a good bit.
Yeah. Now, is he the one that had the store?
And his brother, Albert, lives. Going back. You know who
he lives next to Cecil Pardee.
Mm-hmm.
Albert?
On the corner of the road.
Yeah.
But Cecil Pardee does cross roads again. Albert's down on this side.
Now, where does Albert live? He lives down there by the store?
He lives kind of down the bottom. Yes, the store's right by the house almost.
Yeah. And that's in the bottom. You see, Faye, we got the bottom.
Yes, we got the bottom. It should have said. Yeah. Bad to know about the bottom.
Well, you know, where you turn. Turn off the Alva Road to come up by the Shiloh Methodist Church and all.
Uh-huh.
I think Albert's up on that corner. Well, this road goes right on through McIntosh to Williston, Waukee, somewhere. Albert lives on this corner here. And Cecil Pardee lives back up here.
Towards you. they are pretty good sized men, aren't they? Both those Etrog boys.
Well, Mr. Albert, he's tall and used to be pretty stout, but I think he's had a spell here lately and he's kind of slimmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Albert, he's not as stout as he used to be, and he's short a bit. Chunky.
Oh, he is. Well, I thought he was pretty good sized fella, too. Oh. Well, now, you see, that's all I know about it. Now, they, they didn't get a start till, did you know that, Pappy, and all?
Done what?
Did you know their family?
No, not. I didn't know the Zitler family long.
You didn't know their daddy?
Well, I knew him, but I didn't associate with any of them. Didn't visit around with them.
Yeah.
And his father was tall, so.
Yeah.
And wore mustache. Albert Zetrow married one of Frank's cousins, daughter, which made her Frank's cousin too.
Well, the daddy, what'd you call him?
Zetrow?
Yeah. Did he ever make any money?
Them Zet Browns, they make it, and they said I'm on it.
Well, they keep it. They don't let it go.
Buddy said they pay you, they're going to tell you they pay you so much for that. They pay you. They don't pay you any more though.
Yeah. But now, these boys' daddy had a little money. He made a little money himself.
Oh, yeah. Got his three boys and one girl. Didn't have but three children.
Yeah.
Two boys and one girl.
Two boys and one girl.
And old man, Rimsart Zetrow, owned the whole, I don't know how much land from where his son lived down on the road, going from our house to Meganoke. You see, Albert owns land in Marion County and Lodgewood County.
Keeps on going.
And they all, now Albert, he hasn't had any children. His wife had one son by another marriage. But they don't have any. Any children like children. Since she was a knight when Albert married her.
Well, now, when you came up here from down the country, old man Zetrow, he was already pretty well off.
Mm-hmm.
And had all that property.
I finished all but a little swallow of milk, and I enjoyed it.
How was it? We finally got the okra.
can't think of her name, but it was Harold Davis's wife cut it, and somebody, well, Margaret called some. But instead of Harold Davis and his wife, Bill Reeser, I believe is her name, don't have no phone they have. But they've got a neighbor right close to them that they've got a phone. They get a message for the Davises, I live on over. Give them to Bill Reeser had cut the oak green, got just about a quart. And it was good. It was a big quart, too. And it's all about the same size pod.
Yeah.
So when she come back, I went over and told a such colored woman, a man who it was my caucus, she told me that if Doretha Davis, anyway, they always called him, can't even think of his nickname now, but anyway, her husband. And then Doretha told about what she had, you know, and called back. And she was the one that asked Frankie if he knew what cassava was.
Oh.
And how says, why, Doretha? Says, I'm not born and raised, you might say, cassava patch.
She got the right man to ask, didn't she?
Harold says, Doretha, you know, Miss T used to grow cassava. Frank says, yes, says, you know, you got cassava from us while that daddy died. She said, you know, yeah, I forgot it. Said, but us been growing it right on.
I'd like to have some right this minute.
So Margaret, not that Betty Ann tried to pee or cut that up, because she was likely to lose too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get it fixed up tomorrow, maybe. Get pudding fixed out of it. Out of the roots, you know, Harold gets.
What else is Betty going to eat, babe?
She's finished.
I'm finished.
Well, we're going to get home before dark. We
almost stick my finger down there and touch it.
Yeah. And we're going to get her home before dark, as I promised.
I'm just so comfortable now. I just don't care what I'm moving up.
I guess I never knew you had to save those. Corn, those cane, sugar cane seeds and things. I guess I never knew that.
Yes, ma'am.
Saving seeds.
What then? Take, cut down the stalks by, getting by the armful. Cut off close to the ground, you know. Got him a place fixed out over there and put it in there. Keep on going to get this better seed cane, maybe as long as it's warm, and then another bed about half as long from side to side, you know. And he's had cassava. And I know the more than this room, maybe as long as from here, because that's that room in there too.
Yeah.
In the place dug out in the field, you know, where the hogs and cows want me to get in there and put cane fodder, and then get his cassava. Oh, there goes, I say, goes, so Mr. Miles and a bunch of you getting in high, nobody never know where he was.
Is that right?
The kids used to play hide and go seek in their dad's cassava patch. That's us back of the house. You holler him, I didn't say, don't you break one limb off of that now.
Careful about running and dodging here and yonder. And the time you see them here and you're looking for them, they're way down yonder coming on with a side of hard night in.
Yeah.
Well,
and that know. Was a good place to hide out in the cassava patch.
Yes.
A lot of class, I think.
Good place to run when you thought they were going to get a whipping dip. I can't eat my piece of cinnamon now, Miss Miles. I speak to you.
It's all right. You didn't.
I just eat all I can.
It's all right. I wish I could see a cassava patch.
And it was a good place for the children to run when they thought they don't get out of
water. Yes, sir. Way back years when they needed whippings for things, but as they got growed up, grown, no better than to do things to run and hide for. They didn't do them no good to run and hide.
No.
Of course, when they come out, Daddy was right there with a switch. One thing, he didn't use no stick or belt or anything. I mean, always got him good long cane peach tree.
That would just tickle him. Just sting a little.
Mm, if you hit hard enough, if you bring some stripes on them. I've begged for them many a time. But times I knew they need it, I'd back off our charm and bell about as much as they would.
Yeah.
I cried for them with hot, begged or not.
But they didn't know you did.
Sometimes it would. One that wasn't getting whipping probably would be around looking and see me crying.
Yeah.
And you just do these things for Daddy to have to whip you. Why? Well, because you know when Mama knows that he's whipping us in the wrong, she'll talk up. Well, she don't know. And she knows we're getting whipped and she's off yonder crying.
Yeah. Deserve it.
They'd take up for one another. They'd fuss and fight with one another.
Yeah. I got that idea from Willie that they had, all of them had scuffled pretty much themselves, amongst themselves.
They had some pretty rough fights amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't do any good to beg and plead with them. It's like they're sitting just like two old roosters or young roosters that are going to fight it out. I got with them there one night. I sold up the house we're living in now. I was living in the same house, but it was turned the other way and had that long shed on the side. I took them something, I don't know what it was, not. Willie and Martin, I got into it. And Daddy, he come in to undertake to stop them. And then went out the door and I grabbed me a chair and went out behind him. I said, stop right now. I'll knock them both down.
And they listened to you.
They'd back off, kept a ground, and I said, all right, just keep it up. I said, I'm going to get in between you with this chair. I said, and this time I'm going to whine you both away. But see, I had the feeling that I wouldn't have to hit them with the chair, you know. But they knew whenever they got me riled up.
Yeah.
Things were pretty hot.
Oh, they knew that.
That was one time that
I got with him.
You didn't wait for Mr. Frank to settle that.
He went in there to settle it. I stopped it, but he didn't. And I grabbed the chair. I said, all right. I said, stop, shut up, and quit your foolishness. I said, I'm tired of it. And they said something, and I run out between them, right with the chair. It's all right now. I said, come on. And I made chair resistance.
You was mad you shake it.
Mad I shake. And then you were mad too. You know, that shaking didn't mean just I was scared of them or anything. I saw mad. Well, one was right in a way, and the other one was right in a way. The other one was wrong on one side, and the other one was you couldn't convince them.
Yeah.
Either way, no.
But that was right there in your family.
Right there in the family.
Yeah.
No outsiders knew what was going on.
You didn't, nobody lived close enough to you, they couldn't even hear what you were doing.
Well, yeah, Margaret and Layman lived in New House just above us there.
Oh, they were big boys.
Sure, they were big boys.
Yeah.
Oh, they were fighting, whipping, running, tearing, tumbling. And almost take things apart. This was boy, and the boys even thought of going in service. And we're sitting at supper table one night. Well, Willie wasn't even married then, not this time. Because he went up to Perry and stayed up there with his Uncle Eddie and worked a while. And I don't know, we just looked like there for a while, everything was going wrong. Didn't get nothing to go right. And finally, when war come where Willie, he drove up, you know, more. And him and Sybil got married. He lived down at Irving. And he was living down at Irving when Barbara was born. Well, when he got him a job. I don't know why. Oh, I think somebody over there about Archer, that's where it was.
The bomb factory.
Over at the bomb plant. Shell plant.
When did he live over there close to Everett there? Everett, he lived in that house.
When he lived there, dear. Daddy died.
Yeah, that's after the war.
Yes.
Well, was he working over there, Mr. Jerry?
Where? Over at the
Everett.
No. I was working there for Mr. Smith. Who? I don't think he's all together working for everything, more work for every daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, Martin, Frankie, and Monroe was all working in Gainesville.
Yeah.
But when Frank died, the boys, of course, were all close by when we had came to the hospital in McIntosh. We always called it the butcher house. Because I don't believe Strange treated Frank right even while he was there.
Well, the boys were all grown though then, weren't they? Yeah.
Yes, and see, they'd all been in service when he was back home.
That's right. They weren't,
and we didn't have no phones then. You had to go either foot it or get somebody that had a car to take you, or ride a bicycle. To get word to Willie.
I'm waiting for Miss Kitty to see. Whenever she's ready.
Sorry, I'm ready to go in town because I don't.
Miss Kitty, what did you? We were talking about that on the way home the other night. The last time I went with you. Don't you remember all those nice, pretty new trailers down there in the bottom? And you said they belonged to the niggers.
I suppose they do. It's colored people's land.
And that the government of the welfare buys them?
I reckon it does, because they're going to help them.
Yes.
They're going to help them nigger quicker than they were on call.
Yes.
Now, some of them, they are young husbands, young wives, got a house full of children.
Yeah.
And maybe some of them are clean. Well, my daughter, she husband gone over here in the service, and he don't get enough sent home to her to live on. But don't they know that the government ain't going to put up with the relief of the welfare of paying them when they know good and well that they're getting money elsewhere? They work and then make good wages. If they don't, I don't have to match with them. But they are. They're actually happy. A lot of colored people out there in our community.
Who are already making good wages.
Got good jobs, making good wages, and they're paying, a lot of them drawing a pension. Of course, they're old enough to draw a pension, like me, you know, they call
and
it.
And they help them buy them trailers.
They're going out of a poor. If they're going to come out and drive around in the communities out there and look and see. Break your record.
Who was that colored woman that worked for Uncle Martin? You remember who you're talking about, don't you?
That little Aunt Susan Fraser, she.
Was that Aunt Susan? Well, is she, you haven't had much contact with the colored people since then.
Not much. They don't hire any of them. Margaret was talking to Annie, another colored woman, old colored woman, that washed for us long back when the kids was coming along. And Annie was a little thing. She was talking to her. She had one come back. I think probably the second time we I had to go back to the doctor, you know, for a checkup after I got out of the hospital. And Annie, she was walking around, and said, Margaret, you know, it's Marguerite, you know, it's a long time since I seen. Said, oh, so that Miss Chitty. Thank you, Miss Chitty, I don't know when. I've been a long time, Manny, since you seen me. And Margaret got talking to her about coming in, working in the house, you know, like iron. And Margaret does wash it. You'd have to knock her down, poke her in something to keep her away from the washing machine when wash day come. And anyway, she did wash, get in to do the ironing and mop the floors, you know, like those we done the mopping when she stayed there, and the ironing too. That's big help to Margaret, and a lot of cooking for me. And Margaret fixed things, bring down, well, it helped out both ways. So Martha was talking, she said, I don't know, Martha, you should say where I can get off or when. I said, we'll let you know. And but right in the back of my head, they won't say that. Hush your own grandmammy and a mammy, and just as slick as a breeze being around in your house, you know what gonged or gone and when it gonged. But all you can do is let so-and-so pick it up.
I didn't quite get that, Miss City. And his mother and...
Her mother and grandmother, they were all stick fingers.
Oh.
Colored women.
Yes. Well, now...
But now Susan, she hardly ever took anything. But
I don't think I ever ran into any of these colored people who really take things.
Many of them down there around Flemington, you'll find them, go down there looking for them. You'll find plenty of niggas down there that steal from the
city. Well, now, yes, but I mean,
and
back
then
when you're talking
Frankie about. Starts telling, Mark was telling Frankie, he says, oh, great God, and one says, I don't want that nigger in the house, much less work. That's why, Frank. Because when Martin says, don't you know wherever she goes to work, them boys of hers is white, that hanging on. You can't get nothing done out of them.
Yeah.
And they're just taking up things they ain't got no business taking.
Yeah, and cleaning up your kitchen and whatnot.
And you'd have to feed them too. Maybe Annie'd say, now so-and-so, you do so-and-so now, while I go do so-and-so. And so-and-so, you do so-and-so, while I do so-and-so, we get through with it quicker.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they were, all I can pack in the pockets, you know.
Yeah.
Stomach full, and they're ready to go.
You told me you didn't know Gertrude down there.
I've heard of her, but I don't.
Well, Willie worked with her, you see. He worked out the field with her.
I don't know, he worked with all them the colored women and colored girls down there. They all come up and sing. All of the kids, my kids and them colored girls and women, they all come up and
they all come up together.
All come up together. But still, they don't make them touch it.
No.
Yes, they'd probably think I wasn't perfect either, but
well,
they didn't try to steal anything from anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, this is some okra, frozen. It's cut up, that's fried.
Okay.
You got room to in your freezer for it?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And I guess you're Pepsi.
Okay. We're going to take a ride. I keep looking for my cow. I've got two nails, one in here and one in there.
This is my dessert.
Oh, that's your dessert?
That's the snuff that she's going to take her home. She'll ride home on that. That's the end of the visit with Miss Chitty. This Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71, Channel 2 over. Channel 2 right. Channel 2 right. Well, I don't know, around 800, 700, between 700 and 800. And the end of the visit with Miss Chitty this Friday, at supper the 22nd of October, 71, with Suzanne. Cookie came in. Mark never did. This is channel 2 right, around between 700-800. And the end of the visit with Miss Chitty and Suzanne and Cookie for a few minutes this Friday, the 22nd of October, 71.